Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Wednesday, August 16th, 2017. It is 10:22. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion scheduled at 10 o'clock. There was a note on the board conference room delineating this meeting would start as soon as we finished with the weekly business session. That is consistent with Oregon State open public meeting law. We will go through. We've got a couple of different agenda items. The BCC office reorganization. We have Mr. Schofield here. We'd directed him to kind of field out different opportunities for reorganizing the board's office, given a resignation we just experienced here recently of staff. And with new commissioners, it's always an opportune time to kind of take a look and see what facilitates the best operations, not just at the board's office, but potentially the county and its impact the board office has on the rest of the offices in the county. So, JJ, I guess you could lead off.
Okay. Good morning again, Commissioner. It's almost like I just saw you.
Yeah.
So there's a number of different considerations as it relates to the administrative function of your guys' office and the administrative function of the county. So I met with all three of you, as you know, and the consensus is, as it relates to the administrative function, all three commissioners voiced really interest in maintaining what the current structure is as it relates to having two full-time admin secretary staff. Having two full-time folks has worked very well. It's been efficient. The general productivity and effectiveness of that function has improved with that structure. So all three are in agreement individually that that structure is effective. So the next question is, in the budget currently, we have a chief administrative supervisor position, which oversees the administrative staff and then also does some project management. And that's this current job description.
This is what we posted for?
This is what we posted for. And it's a little different from what we used to have in the past because we added some project management and a little bigger oversight. So that's what was currently posted. Another option that was voiced.
Now that's still not. You still have two people, two full-time secretaries,
yes.
And this position.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Another option.
Come again? I'm confused. Just on the two functions we have right now, and satisfying the job description of the person that we currently advertise to fill this position permanently?
I asked him to bring both as we overall organization of the office.
So no, I'd like to just satisfy the element that we are consistent on, the first thing you said. I thought we were still on that. But.
Oh, no. So the thing that everyone is very consistent on is having two full-time administrative secretaries,
okay.
The board administrative secretaries. The functionality of that has been effective. All three have said what I'd like to see is two full-time administrative secretaries, and then a third person who does bigger picture stuff. Some of it is project management, some of it is oversight. And so what I'm going to discuss now is what that looks like.
Okay.
And that's perfect.
So there's two positions that are currently out. And two ideas, I guess. And they're similar in some sense, in the sense that they oversee the staff, they oversee the administrative function of the board, they do project management, but in order to quantify more closely really the differentiation of the two positions and make it very clear, I put together a little color-coded chart that kind of talks about how they're different. And so I'm just going to go through this, and then we'll talk about pay structure, because they're different level of positions and their focus is different. So the first thing I asked was, I considered is, does it have, the chief operating officer or chief administrative supervisor, do they have full authority over the county and department operations, similar to what a county administrator would have? The answer is no. Neither of the positions have that level of authority. They're not a county administrator. They're a lower level position. Do they direct the board office staff? Well, both of them would direct the internal staff. However, the chief operating officer would have higher authority than that. It would at least, I'm going to preface this by, when I say it will, this is just based on the discussions I had with the commissioners, this was something I put together. So when I say it will, preface that by saying it will, based upon the current job description that I wrote, and the board has full authority to accept or change whatever they want.
I think it's fair to say that what you're presenting is a draft form of a recommendation, and that's what we're here to discuss, how to refine that.
Yes.
So this breakdown, this analysis, reflects what is written in both of these.
Yes. Because I wanted to be able to really quantify the difference, because it's easy to look at them on a cursory level and say they look similar. And aspects of the job are similar, but some aspects are very different. So the chief operating officer would supervise a greater level of authority than just the internal office staff. They would supervise the internal service department, so HR, finance, technology, and building services or facility services. Next is, would they back up front office staff and administrative functions? So a chief admin supervisor, yes. I would say it's more of a limited backup. So chief operating officer is not really doesn't fulfill the same role as an administrative secretary, but to a limited fashion, they could do some backing up.
Well, my thought in that position is that they would be responsible for making sure that there was backup available. I mean, you guys are hiring a person in finance and HR, legal, took their person to a full-time with the intent that they would back up. However, there's not been any coordinated effort to make sure that that's going to happen. So,
I think some of these are not answered correctly looking through them.
It's a draft.
We can talk.
Well, and when I say yes or no, I'm saying that based upon what does this job do, based on the job description, kind of discussions I had, versus what does this job do. It's just an assessment, and ultimately, we haven't filled a position, so it can do whatever the board wants. But I'm trying to quantify how these positions look differently as best I can. So the next would be direct county departments in achieving board assignment. I would say that the chief administrative supervisor doesn't do that, but the chief operating officer does. Again, it doesn't have full authority over departments. That lies solely with the board, but as assigned, they would have authority to direct the other departments. Neither of these positions set county goals. That lies strictly with the board. However, I would say that the chief operating officer would work in conjunction with the board to help the board establish their goals, even though the board sets the goals. I don't know that the chief administrative supervisor would do that. And then the county sets the goals. A chief operating officer would help administer those goals, where a chief administrative supervisor has a more of an internal focus, so they're not going to administer the goals countywide. Again, oversee specific projects as assigned by the BCC. This is the project manager role. I think either position could do that. Provide continuity for projects and county processes. I put limited on the chief administrative supervisor, because on certain projects they would do that. If they're fulfilling the role of project manager on something and board members come and go, they're gonna maintain the continuity of that project, where the chief operating officer has a bigger county focus. It would have more continuity throughout the totality of the county, not just a specific project. And then I put PIO duties. I would say that the chief administrative supervisor doesn't do that. However, the chief operating officer does it in a limited fashion as directed. Again, the board has voiced that you all want to be the public information officer, but I think this position would have some role in that. Write and establish policy as directed by the board. Again, the chief operating officer would have a more pervasive role in that than the admin supervisor. The admin supervisor would probably more focus on internal board policy, where this would be focused on more county policy. assist and develop the agenda and attend meetings. They both would do that to a degree, but it'd be more pervasive with the chief operating officer. Orient new board members. Positions would be responsible for that. This is kind of an important one, I think. Coordinate with legal to ensure proper hearings logistics. I think that's a challenge with new board members, knowing the rules associated with administrative hearings and all these things. And I think that a chief operating officer would be more suited to understand those rules and advise the board on proper protocol more than the admin supervisor would be.
One of those things has to do with, like, not providing necessarily legal advice, but for instance, today, if there wasn't a notice on the door, the example is that somebody could come to the door, see that it's closed, know exactly where the meeting's supposed to take place, but if at 10:02 the door's closed, there's no meeting, properly the board should not convene. Because that person came, was there on time, and we weren't here or didn't provide the notice. I've seen boards in the state where they do that, and then they convene, and they're in violation. That person had every opportunity or right to be there and witness what the board is discussing. And because we didn't facilitate them knowing that we can start at any time, but you have to provide notice. And I think it's little things like that that sometimes can get lost.
Without a note, also somebody show up and the door's locked, they go, supposed to be open meeting, and they're having it in there anyway.
That's the other thing.
Potentially they could think that, yeah, absolutely.
They could think that and walk off. Yep, I was there, but it wasn't as open as they said it was going
to be. Yeah, exactly.
Without a notice.
And so, I mean, as you all know, as being commissioners for a while, that some of the stuff you guys had to deal with in really the first 7 months of office has been very complex, very challenging. Because of that complexity, I think a chief operating officer would be more of the appropriate position to be able to explain and advise the chief operating officer.
I don't know how you put that necessarily in a handbook. I mean, Wendy knows it, so she wrote an email, had it done, because we've done it before.
Yeah.
But... anyway.
So, certain things they both could do. The more complex, challenging logistical structures, and not even just meeting structure, but just some of it is more appropriate, I think, for a chief operating officer. The next is assist with county budget preparation versus write the BCC office budget. So both of them, I think, would be able to write the internal budget. That's been a standard practice. But the chief operating officer, I think, would work with the finance director to help craft the full county budget. And the last couple are help administer department head evaluations. I think the administrative supervisor, the role they would fill that was, hey, board members, you need to do your evaluations, and here they are, and keep you logistically square, where a chief operating officer would more help facilitate the filling out of those things. So they would have some more input, saying, here's what I think, and then what do you think, and let's put them together. And then last, I think the biggest thing is when I started this work, I started really trying to look at what is this current position, if we were going to call it something else, and like in the private sector, what would it be called? And I think executive assistant is a pretty accurate term for private sector equivalent of the chief admin supervisor. They have a couple staff that are administrative in nature, and they work on basically the internal structure of the operation, and they work as an ancillary role to the executive head and help get their job done. Where chief operating officer has less of a administrative internal focus, but more on I'm going to be a guide for the board to help them manage the external stuff, running of the totality of the county. You know, but they're not a full county manager; they're not running the county. They're helping the board run the county. So that's really the differential as I saw it in the two positions. Budgetarily speaking, when I looked at the salary range for the chief operating officer, we used to have that position, and it was Marie Hill in 07 was the last time we had it. So I looked at what her salary range was. I also looked at our chief financial officer salary range. And based on that, I would recommend that the salary range go to NU26, which is currently one range higher than our highest range. NU25 is we have one employee in that. And then what I have on here is what it would cost if we hired either one of these positions at step one. So if we hired this position, which is the admin supervisor step one, the total cost and wages and benefits and PERS and all that stuff is $86,000. And if we hired this position, it would be $126,000 at step one. So there's a $40,000 difference in admin supervisor versus chief operating officer. Of note, however, is the admin supervisor is really an internal board function, and as such, it would come out of the general fund. If you all were to hire a chief operating officer, because the focus is more bigger picture of the county and specifically supervises the internal services departments, it would be funded through the ISF fund. So the funding would be different. So, I mean, that's really my breakdown of the two positions, what the focus of them would be. I can say that two commissioners were more interested in the chief operating officer model. One commissioner was more interested in the admin supervisor model. There's some similarities in the two and some things that could happen with either one, but the focus is different on the totality of what it would do. So what I can say is, in looking at other counties, I have nine counties I looked at that are comparable. A little over half have a full county administrator, which is something the board is not interested in having. And then another two or three other than that have either their legal head of legal or their head of finance is a higher level CFO type position, which is similar to the chief operating officer. And then a couple have the same structure that we currently have. So that's kind of a reference point for you all to consider.
And not many of the ones that the county commissioners are the administrators as well. They all have executive assistants that are in their office keeping things going. And where the chief operating officer may serve a function of administration, it's still leaving a gap in the function of our office by going with that model. And, for instance, we had a meeting in June where we said we're going to have our Cave Junction evening meeting in August here. That didn't happen as far as anyone following up with making sure that we were going to happen. We had things said in the June 8th meeting about, Commissioner DeYoung, will you facilitate getting parks and public works to work together for paths in the park system? Nothing in there followed up and getting on an agenda or following up. This COO model doesn't fix that we still have an assistant executive working for us, keeping us on track of our stuff. And it very specifically, it's not an executive assistant to the board. Their function is administrative out there. It's still going to leave a gap in our office and an area of insufficiency in us doing our job well. In years past, way back, we had somebody in the commissioner's office that actually operated in the function of an executive assistant that kept us on track with projects and timelines, and the commissioner's offices were much more functioning efficiently. And through time, that watered down.
How far back are you talking?
Well, while Pat was here, because I was talking to her about when I said these are the...
Pat's been here for a long time, so when specifically? Because I've been here for 7 years.
And it was before that.
I think it was.
So she said even the last 12 years, it's not been functioning to the capacity it was meant to be. And so even in this model, we're going to find our office is not functioning accurately because we're still missing a piece of us having an administrative executive assistant that's keeping us on track.
Something I would recommend just as an exercise in making decisions that's worked well for me. I think we've had a previous discussion about emergency services manager being a regional component of how we facilitate that program. There was some opposition expressed because it just couldn't work. It's been working for the last month and the biggest fire season we've actually had in a long time, in my opinion. And that's also a qualifier. And these are all opinions individually. So to say that one will work or one will not work to the best benefit, or it has not been working for X number of years, I would challenge that this previous boards have actually accomplished a lot in the last 7 years that had not been done in the previous decade. So I'm not so sure that it's a real definitive thing to say that, A, it's not working right now. It's not working as well as it could. It's not maybe facilitating all of your needs. I just think that that's an important scope to kind of look through preconceived ideas about what will or will not work. Time can tell and often may not reflect exactly what your preconceived idea of how it works plays out on the field in the day-to-day operation. So I just encourage keeping an open mind about things. And for me, when I make a decision, it's like yes until we find a reason of absolutely no. And that has worked really, really well to refine the best answer to any question that we have.
Except we already visited this 2 months ago, and we hashed through this. And as a board, we came to a decision. We approved a job description. We moved it forward. We received applications. And then it gets stalled, and we're brought back and having the same discussion.
So what's been the stalling element?
Pushing to have a chief operating officer.
I think this is the first conversation this board has actually
delineated
explicitly like this. I remember that we gave JJ direction just a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, to really hash this out. Take a look at these different options. I would much rather spend a couple of weeks working out something that might be a structure that lasts several years, as opposed to rushing through with replacing what we used to have. That, in my opinion, having been here for 6 years, was less than ideal. I worked here when Rosemary was our CFO, who really operated less as a CFO and more as his chief operations officer, because she had, frankly, Arthur in her office helping a lot with the financial element and really could do, I think, what you're looking to achieve, Commissioner Morgan, of making sure that that objective of having a Cave Junction meeting come to fruition. That's really an operations thing of how are you going to get all of the staff that need to present at that thing, that meeting, to get out there for that evening meeting? Is that an appropriate agenda to organize that we're having staff that are pulled in different directions, working with IT in a way to facilitate using maybe PEG funds to buy a mobile camera so we can streamline things out there? It's a little bit more complicated than saying holding a week business session. We're just going to go do it out there. Well, what about all the people who tune in every week that don't come to the meeting? They really have the same right to witness what's going on at a weekly business session as anyone else. So that's, I think there's ways to work it out, but you got to have somebody in charge who's going to do that. And I don't know that that's really necessarily worked really well in the history of 8 different commissioners I've served with. To assign that to a commissioner might not work out real well, I think, by example.
We didn't assign it to a commissioner, but we have department heads we also didn't assign it to. But we did talk about the chief operating officer 2 months ago, and we asked if we wanted to go that route or do we want to go the chief administrative supervisor route. We chose to go the chief administrative supervisor route, edited the job description, and posted a job description based on that. It's not the first time as a board we've talked about the topic. It is the first time we've delineated having a job description listed.
Well, with all due respect, I think there's some commissioners who are interested in having that conversation.
That's
so it might not be yours, but we're here.
I see real value in both of these positions. Do we need both of them? No, we need one or the other.
Yeah.
So where do you get the most bang for your buck? I am personally, from the continuity standpoint, I think this chief... either one of these would probably fill the bill. One of them fills it a little bit better. With the chief operating officer, I think fills more, giving this description right here, if it's what is going to be in the job description as stated. But I also look at $40,000 difference, and I don't know whether that's worth it. I can see out in public perception is, you need this guy, why do we need commissioners? Well, because they're the ones that are going to make those decisions. But
because without
I don't think
that
we need a supervisor of the ISF departments. We have department heads that are the supervisors of those departments.
So you've been here for 7 months.
I've been in the county 11 years.
I've been here through 8 different commissioners. Commissioner, I don't want this to get a heated discussion, but who's lived it for the last little bit? In all honesty, the COO position has been held by the person who's been here, who's tried to coach the other commissioners, 8 of them. It is not a commissioner's job to do that. It really isn't. It's not fair. It's not the best interest of keeping these projects moving forward. That's my opinion. And honestly, the $40,000 is a significant impact. However, I cannot support adding any more burden to the general fund in excess of what we just did with allocating, you know, requiring $550,000 to be done in BOR by the general fund. ISF, at our lowest rate since I've been here, the earlier rate was 8.25% when I took office in 2011. This has a surplus of resources right now. We're looking at reorganizing the ISF to meet the additional needs, but at the lowest rate, it can afford that element from a standpoint that the general fund cannot. We're allocating more general funds than we actually can afford on the long term to programs that you're going to have to, this board may have to make serious decisions about reductions in the DA's office in a year, because you can't afford to keep allocating this amount of money out of the general fund. So another $100,000 is just not
from my own personal, and you've been here, Commissioner Morgan, 11 years. I haven't been in government 11 years, and quite frankly, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because I'm not used to how things work and so on and so forth. But there are times daily that I need somebody to ask questions about, talk to freely, and I can't do that. I really can't do that. I mean, I can't go and say, Commissioner Morgan, hey, I got to talk to you about something, because that's not allowed. And same thing with Commissioner Hare. So who do I go to? A lot of times I lean on Arthur, and I lean on Wally Hicks. And, you know, so they got to take their valuable time to try to lead me along the trail so I don't fall off. And that's where I would see a COO as a value, especially when you get to the election cycle where you've got two new commissioners. Now there's only one guy that's known what's going on, unless you've worked in government. I haven't. So there's only one person that I can really say, I need somebody that I can say, okay, so what's next? So what's next? And go from there.
Frankly, there's been some pretty big challenges that both of you have had to take on. So Commissioner DeYoung, your program, the Sheriff's Office, has just received $5 million, five or six. You're planning that new budget, the same thing for you, planning that new budget for the juvenile detention facility, working through the administrative reorganization of public health in a comprehensive way that actually can move forward. Having a commissioner have a partner that will facilitate that, and not necessarily taking time from an HR manager, a facilities, or a finance director or legal counsel, because if you add that up over three different people, that's like a full-time job, which is what I think we're talking about, to help really guide commissioners to success through these programs and their big challenges. They're not going to go away. There's a dozen other programmatic elements that the county really needs to move forward in the next little bit. That are going to take a tremendous amount of time and energy and sometimes know-how that each commissioner may not bring to the table.
I'm going to ask a question.
Sure.
So if you go to the chief operating officer, who do the two secretaries answer to?
The COO.
Okay, and who do they answer for on the chief administrative?
They would
same,
both.
Same one. They
both
answer. They
yeah.
both answer to... So
yeah.
I should disclose, I think, that my next venture, I'm not running for office again. I think I've made that clear. I am pursuing probably this position with other counties as we speak. And so I am looking at it through that lens as not necessarily an applicant for this position, but that is my next venture. So just for full disclosure, that's the lens that I'm looking at it through.
So I think really the next step is probably the best bet is to spend a little time looking at the job description, look at the little assessment that I did. You can ask, think about it. You can bounce ideas off of me. I mean, ultimately, I can't meet with an individual and said, well, I talked to Dan and Dan said. I can't do that. I'm not legally allowed to do that. But I can say, here's what I came up with in analysis of what other counties do and what operationally the difference in the two plans are. Advantage of this one, advantage of this one. Because I don't think the board at this point in time is ready to make any decision because you just seen this information 10 minutes ago. So
right.
I think there's value in taking a little time.
I do think we need to move on the other one, though.
That was where I was going to go next. I think that there's clear agreement that there are two, there's interest in having two full-time secretaries. That is something I think the board could codify today.
I totally agree.
And then with that, I think we should make an appointment to it, because we've had somebody operating in a temp capacity that is willing to work in that role and is doing well at it. We've had somebody that we've seen how they work and seen how they interact, and I would just, I think we should just, have the right within our charter to make that appointment.
I totally agree. However, I'm never opposed to taking a look at what other applications have come in, and if anything else, that just refines my decision one way or the other. It's worked really well to kind of do that in the past, but I think it's totally up to us individually how we want to pursue this, whether or not we even want to entertain looking at other applications. But I can't disagree, Commissioner Morgan. I think the person that's been filling that role on a temporary basis has gone above and beyond what a temp would normally be expected to perform in that function. And I don't think that's going to change when, you know, if that appointment went through. So I think it's a good recommendation.
I have very few criteria when it comes to that, because the one I do have is that window out there. That's the public perception part that I'm interested in. And window out there, if you say it's open at 8 o'clock, it better be open at 8 o'clock. And I, it's been really what the last, not that it wasn't before, but it's been doing really well out there, and I have no problem with the temp being moved up.
All have different, priorities. Yours is the window, which is great. I think that's a priority of mine, but, Commissioner Morgan's might be, these project things and keeping those on track. Mine could be something different, but all of those seem to be satisfied by the person we have, so I'm confident that we find it. So how soon can you facilitate that?
We can do two things on what I'm hearing. I can either post it right away, give it a fairly short notice, see who comes and have the temp apply, and we could go through that process. Or if we want to just appoint, we can do temp to hire and just hire the person. That's perfectly allowable. There's no ORS that requires that we do a lengthy recruitment process. A temp to hire is a pretty common hiring process, both in private and public sector.
I would lean towards the appointment side of it.
I would too.
I would really lean towards the appointment side of it first off, because it's. I'm happy. I'm happy.
Yeah, we've even done it in this county.
I'm happier I'm supposed to be.
Cecilia in my office was hired as a temp, and then worked as a temp for a while, and then was appointed based on the work she did.
Not opposed to that.
Public Works does it every year. They hire a bunch of temps based on that, the work they do over the temp period. They select from that applicant pool when they actually hire road worker ones. So.
Okay. Majority of the board wants to move that forward. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Do you want to meet next week to discuss, once you've had a chance to kind of peruse the job description in a little more detail?
Yeah, and I want to call a couple other counties and find out how they, that have both of these and see how they work out.
Well, one that stands out to me is Klamath and the model that Klamath has over there. And part of that is because we've seen their chief administrative person at County College and had the interaction to see what service they're doing. So that's one that I think would be a good comparable.
They're on my list for a road trip probably next week.
Polk, Yamhill. There's a whole handful of others.
If this isn't a deal, we've got to do this by next week.
We can do it whenever you want.
Off a little while because so I can do some research.
We can push it off a couple of weeks. That gives you plenty of time to look at it, ask questions, call some folks.
You should probably send a letter out to the applicants that have been waiting for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And let them know that we've put it on hold or whatever we're doing.
Yeah, we can do that. And some people have called and we've had some communication already with it's in a holding pattern for now. And
Wally just got out of this meeting with the Ninth Circuit, so I'm going to call for an update as soon as we can get out of this. So, thank you, Wally.
Give him a chance to have lunch.
No, I want to know right now.
That's a big case.
It's the greatest potential liability the county has faced in a long time, so I want to know right now. Thank you very much, JJ.
Thank you.
Item number two is Cannabis Advisory Board. We've got, Ms. Meltzer, would you mind coming up? We've got a whole number of applications here, and I've started going through. It's real challenging to kind of compare apples and apples. How did you guys do?
Well, I did. I personally, honest to goodness, I haven't gotten halfway through this thing. Commissioner Morgan's been spearheading this thing, and I just didn't have a chance over the weekend to do it, and I certainly didn't have it yesterday, and I came in early this morning to do that, you know, to get even delve farther into it, and never got very far, because as soon as that window opened, I had a lady in my office till...
Wally's calling me now, so he didn't get him, so I didn't answer.
So I'm really not prepared to
go through too
much to put into this thing, but I could be in the next few days. I've got had a full plate the last couple of weeks, as everybody has. So
I've been a little bit distracted. I have a recommendation for you guys as far as maybe I have a list of folks that I came up with that potentially could fill the positions and some alternatives. But one option for us is, since there's 35, 40 applicants, is having a group coming to interview. So you're not making a decision based on just the applications, but what I tried to do is I looked at a scope of things. I looked at geographically where people lived, and I looked at what they did in their function. I tried to get a variety of folks to represent both large grow, smaller grow, medical versus rec. There's some urban growth planning folks that have applied. There's people that have been involved in legislative stuff. So I've tried to come up with a list that I thought would be a good scope of things that would represent both sides of things, and leaning more towards cannabis involved folks than less.
Well, we want people who are going to be affected and experts, you know.
Yeah, but we also have a planning component, and we have a prevention component. We have there's law enforcement, there's effect on different things like that. So I actually came up with a list of who I would, you know, make a recommendation for, and then assuming that you guys were doing that as well, had some alternatives that I could make comments on. But
I think the ones, there's another way that we've done this in the past is like Commissioner DeYoung picks three, you pick three, and I pick three, or something to that effect. I don't think that's going to work for us in this one, because it would work really well for like a parks board, where there aren't specific elements that you really want to achieve, but you've outlined specifically, and I think I endorse, a very well-rounded group of people that we need to have. I have a few people that I'm going to not necessarily insist, not that we have veto power, that would be the balance, but that are really important people that I trust and know well to represent the interest that I'm looking for in this. So, and I've got three or four of those people that I think are going to be must-haves on it. They could be the same must-haves that you have, because it seems...
That's
so why don't we each submit a list of who we want to have come in and interview, and then us interview them all and then make recommendations? Because then it might come out in an interview what actually... Unless you guys don't want it to that level.
I almost don't know that I need an interview if we're all on the same page with those that we are. I mean, comprehensively, I think we almost probably know most of these people. And those who we do not, I'm sure they bring something to the table, but there's got to be that element of trust that I know that you're working on this, you know, for the best interest of the county and not trying to serve some individual perspective.
And I don't know, because you're going to be kind of spearheading this thing, you've got some expectations from your members that I think, you know, if I go, oh, no, this guy's got to be in there, and you go, yeah, they're not going to be able to work with him. Mm-hmm. It's got to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be productive, and it has to be personalities that you know most of these people and I don't. And I don't want to say, hey, you know, I know this guy, or he's my cousin or whatever, and that doesn't work out real well. I have full faith.
I'm not related to any of the applicants. I just
disclaimed
my... I know it's impossible
that you know
to throw a stone, and I'm not.
No way.
Well,
do you guys want to hear the list that I came up with? I could recruit. I have family in the industry.
Yeah.
So.
But, you know, in my
Who
mind,
doesn't?
You know, I've been reading through the applicants and stuff, and it really doesn't really say much about them.
You have to almost sometimes, if they don't put that much, it's really hard to determine.
Yeah, it's tough. And so I think you've done the research and said, okay, so-and-so is going to be good from the planning aspect of it. Or so-and-so, you know, I've got a person I would pick out for that. It's pretty obvious. But
I can give you guys the names, and if you guys have any ones you don't agree with, I came up with alternatives that I thought could fit in some of the slots that they were fitting, or unless you guys want to give me the names that you guys have or must-haves, or I don't know. I mean, at some point I had a justification for each of the people that I put on there to meet a need, but it might not be in line with what y'all want, and I want to just make sure that that's representative. And but I have a list of 15 that I've reduced mine down to.
Yeah. This is a publicly available process, and so for your list to influence the creation of my list, is that an appropriate thing, or is it the right thing that we're coming to a consensus as a board about these people? So I apologize. I'll often argue and articulate my thought process out loud, and I think I've come to the conclusion that I'd like to hear your list, and I will check them. It doesn't mean that I'm going to endorse it. It's just a really good nexus that I'm already saying, Commissioner Morgan has looked at this person, and they fill that position for her. So, sure, I'm interested to hear.
Okay.
Are they listed in the list level?
I wrote out a separate piece of paper separately.
Then you may have to go a little bit slow.
I can do that. I kind of have 10, and I was going back and forth on a couple of them. So then I had some others that I saw as potential.
Are they all for interview, or these first this nine is, or the committee? Or?
This is who I think would be a good committee group, but I'm happy to interview them all. Cassie Cooper. Cassie Cooper lives in the Ivy. She both has an individual grow as well as manager of a large grow. There's more there, but as far as representative of the Valley and two types of grows and various things, regulations. Cedar Gray. He is somebody who cares about being a good neighbor. He has a hemp farm. He has a medical grow, and he's got OLCC. So he represents a broad scope of what's available in the system, and he's in Williams.
Next.
Jared Panks. He's OMMP. He has a passion for the medical side of things, and he just has a good heart. And what it comes down to for me is I like his heart, and that's not a paper thing. That's just a...
Yeah, no, apps.
Stephen Becker. This is an... he is a ear, nose, throat doctor. He has a small business. He is back and forth between Nevada and here. He lives in the Murphy area. I believe he just would offer a different perspective. And one of the things that when I was seeking advice from people in the cannabis community as far as who should be on this, one of the positions I was recommended to do is have a medical professional on there. Mm-hmm. And looking at all the applicants that had a background in anything medical-wise, he seemed to be the most appropriate to be advisory. And so not necessarily connected to the industry mm-hmm. or anything, but just somebody who's willing to that was kind of a outsider one, but I thought it would, and their reference was from a local realtor's perspective. So it was just kind of a different one. So,
I think for continuity, I don't want the Cannabis Advisory Committee to get mired down with the medical efficacy of, you know what I mean? If you had people debating that, because we don't regulate that.
Uh-uh.
We don't regulate. We're really looking at forming regulations based on time, place, and matter. I'm not saying that person wouldn't have a nexus.
Before 91.
I still think it's still a medical
relevant
component. Oregon Health Authority is still involved. Prevention is still involved, which they deem that addiction is medical-based. And the cannabis industry said you should have a medical person on there that's talking about from both sides.
I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just
marijuana.
That's what I'm saying. And this person wasn't an anti-cannabis.
No.
It was, you know, it's just I thought they'd offer a diverse perspective on the committee. Then the next ones I'm kind of up in the air on. I have Amber Sherman Guyant. She is a Tier 1 rec grower in the Williams area. Kind of stood out differently. She is a mom with kids in the school district, and so a perspective of having somebody who is dealing with kids and stuff like that, what's the impact of marijuana in the community on kids when and various mm-hmm. things. And so I thought she's also Williams, so just you know, trying to the other thing I'm looking at, male, female, geographic, where their backgrounds are. So this would be the second female that I have on my list, and that's all I have on my list as far as females. So that was kind of where I was at there. Gerard Fitzgerald. I found that I only know him through working on the UGB expansion and the planning and Sobering Center. He did some advising on the Sobering Center, and I found him to be a land use help. And so from the perspective of somebody who's been involved in land use stuff for a long time, mm-hmm. I thought that perspective would be helpful. But again, this is...
I think what's interesting about Gerard is he doesn't always share some a philosophy or a thought that's popular, but he does know the nuances. And the UGB expansion, he and I were talking quite closely. He is the county's rural representative on the Urban Planning Commission, and so he's got that nexus as well, and as a realtor. So I think there's a lot of people that may disagree with him in his perspective, but I don't think his advice is usually pretty spot on.
Yeah.
It's been real consistent for me, which is not always the case. A lot of people say something and they think it's the rules of the law, and it's like, no, that's not actually the way it is.
Well, one thing about Gerard is he's not afraid to tell you what he's thinking, and that's what we're going to need.
And I have to be honest, I don't know his perspective on a lot of things. I've just found that on the ones that he's advised us,
yep.
he's been sound in
right.
offering that advice.
And if he's selected, we'll certainly find out what he's...
Mm-hmm.
There was a different applicant that I wondered the perspective of was Don Fashing. Lived in Selma for the last 12 years. He has moved to town, but last time I saw him was actually at the Illinois Valley at the Blackberry Labor Day Festival
mm-hmm.
last year. He's still actively involved in the Valley, but coming from a law enforcement background and policy background, that was, as a law enforcement officer, that was where his expertise was, is in policy, Don Fashing.
Okay. He was the undersheriff. What's really interesting about Mr. Fashing is that he has a lot of family that's in the industry. So it cuts both ways. He cares about Selma, the Illinois Valley. He goes out there. He's out there all the time, even though he's moved in here. It's just an interesting perspective because he's got to look at it through the nexus of a lot of family that used to be in the logging industry is getting into the cannabis industry as their alternative. And there's a slowdown. They're also in the building and development industry, and if that's not going well, you know, so.
And for me, I had contacted some folks in the Valley, and they respected him. So it was mm-hmm. one of those things that it wasn't a, you know, I know there was...
He's going to be controversial with some, for sure.
Yep, and I'm aware of some controversy with the sheriff's office and various things and the exiting there. But it was one of those things that I still think, because of his background, he would be a good advisor and somebody that would potentially be on there.
You're looking for somebody who understands the Valley or the county's law enforcement perspective. I don't know that we have that represented in these applicants. I haven't gone through all of them, but I certainly don't have a name that's his, so of that caliber.
So from another perspective, getting a north end, Jeff Thomas applied from Concierge Service, and we had numerous applicants, at least five, from the Colonial Valley Homeowners Association, North
right.
Valley Community Watch. I thought that Mr. Thomas would be a good representative to kind of bring in that whole perspective because of his business interactions. His business has exploded with people asking for help and protecting property and seeing the impact throughout the Valley. He has clients all the way through Illinois Valley, but North Valley primarily being one of those areas. And they are, I thought they would offer a good perspective of boots on the ground, seeing impacts in the community of something different. So
pretty objective, not on one side or the other, because they're obviously benefiting from the challenges mm-hmm. that it's brought. So,
and in my interactions with him, he's been an honest man,
mm-hmm.
and that's something I value.
Me too.
So that gets me to eight that I have listed so far, and I'm torn on the last one. There is argument that... one that I looked at that is another Valley person, Michael Baker. He's an indoor grower, but I don't really, nothing really stood out. One of the other alternatives was Stephanie McBrayer. She says she had watershed background. Chris Hall is a farmer from the Valley. Gail Welsh has a planning background from Merlin area. But what I put on the list, the last two that I kind of debated between, are Peter Gendron and John Chambers. John is on LADPC. He's one of our prevention certified folks that has gone through our county prevention stuff. He's also on our Urban Planning Commission. Rural Planning Commission. So just a perspective of that, there is one person that's, but we also have Sean Martinez as a staff member who is wanting to take part and make sure that we're communicating. So if we wanted a prevention person, of the people that applied prevention background, I felt he was the better of the candidates, but I also think that if we need it, we already have planning represented. If the list I've read, that Sean could represent the prevention side in a way that's very applicable.
One of my challenges is having a duplication of a planning commission member on here.
I had that same concern, and I also have the concern of having someone that's on so many committees.
Yeah.
And maybe giving opportunity for other people. So
there will be a nexus for those other committees to interface and make recommendations to the board on the specialty stuff that they have concern over. So.
But I didn't know how important it was to have a prevention. I felt that Sean could represent that as our staff member, kind of assisting with community development. And
really, land use should be represented by the developer.
True, but from a staff perspective, from some, in the community, so just back and forth. So
sure.
I didn't actually put a number next to his name, but he was on my top list.
Who was that?
John.
Yeah.
And then Peter has been actively involved at the state level. My instinct was not to actually recommend him to be on the committee, because my instinct was to bring him into the committee as an expert topic man and a topic
person. And he's very
person.
Specific about his advocacy,
Yes.
And I'm not sure, is there room to find a middle ground with Mr. Gendron? I mean, he's definitely a reference. He certainly knows the issue, but we're looking for kind of a cohesive recommendation on things from the board. Is he going to be always providing a dissenting view if the majority of the committee feels one way? I don't know. I don't know if he has the license to do stuff.
In my conversation that I've had with Mr. Gendron and Chris Hall, I've had them both in my office. And I found them both to be, I anticipated one side, all in favor of, this is the way I want it, so on and so forth. But they were very open to other ways of looking at it, and respectful of the fact that, I can't do everything you want to do.
Yeah.
Everybody going in is going to need to know that everybody's going to lose something on this. Everybody. There's about four or five major silos that are going down as to what you want to do with land and so on and so forth. They all affect personal property rights. And they're all stuck in their own way, and they're not all going to get what they want or even close to it. I was wondering if we had a water systems expert, because water is a huge, huge, huge deal. Did you get any applications from, maybe we can't get the water master, that's for sure.
No, and I
don't think I've
I think with no. The one that put watershed, we need to interview or check references.
Jeez.
And various things. I don't know her at all to make that. The one person put that. The other one that could maybe fill that role, Renee Pare or Pare, I'm not sure how to say his last name, was a local landscaper who also runs a local nursery. So somebody who's dealing with the industry that, is...
He's a consultant now. He no longer runs his nursery.
Could this group call in somebody from like a water lab, a testing lab? I'm interested more in groundwater and its effect on groundwater and so on and so forth.
Well, we can call in any expert for helping and advise and all that kind of stuff. Yes, it's not...
Without having one on the panel itself.
Correct.
I think think you've got a great list to start with, Commissioner Morgan. I
do too.
I see a lot of people that I would totally endorse. Mm-hmm. And so I just did a checkbox next to those, and then there's some that I'm going to suggest that weren't on your list that I do know and have some confidence in. And I don't know if you didn't know Valerie Montague from the former from a planning office in the past. She's a large recreational grower. She's been very interested in the formation of this committee.
Yes, I didn't know her personally. I saw planning, but like I said, when I already saw planning represented on other things, it was a matter of trying to pick a broad spectrum of.
One of my points, I think, is that the main focus of this is really going to be on planning law. Water is an important element. We need to write the state water, Oregon Water Resources, a letter saying these are our concerns. But we don't really have a lot of ability to enforce or local authority. But so it's the time, place, and manner that we need to kind of keep our focus on. When you started out, you were talking about the scope and stuff, which is important. We need a broad group of people. But in order to get things moving forward, mm-hmm. I think they need a narrow focus of, like, all of this stuff is really, really important, but we have this much room to really refine the processes. And that we get it right in that spectrum is really important to me.
When I was at the legislative thing luncheon the other day, Representative Wilson was saying, he says, you know, that time, place, and manner was delegated to the counties. But that can, you know, there can be some overreach in that thing too, from what the state views that as. So, in other words, I would like to sit down with Carl Wilson and find out exactly what he meant by that statement.
It's actually in my conversations with Wally to take that. It's not the state that gets to delineate what time, place, and manner means. It's the courts. And its foundation, when Wally and I were discussing this, is really on First Amendment rights. So when we regulate people to 3 minutes on this subject during a hearing, you cannot clap, you can't have signs, that's a time, place, and manner element. And that's where the legislature got the scope to be able to not just delegate it to the counties, but for our having legal authority to regulate that legally, it's defined in the courts.
Well, he said that they had to rein in two or three counties, and he named off Jacksonville, one of them. I want to find out what he meant by that.
Could have to do with their land use laws and preventing,
right.
And that could be more under the Oregon Right to Farm or Forest Act.
Right, and I think, but I would like to make sure that we're aware of what that is before mm-hmm. we start into this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to get down there and say, oh yeah, this is it. Boy, we all agree on that. And they go, nope, sorry, you've ignored. You know, some aspect of the agricultural.
I think one of the things we start out with is having, you know, like Rob Bovet from AOC come down and do kind of like a tutorial on where we are. So to kind of lay a foundation, I think the full board should be there.
Yeah.
You know, we should have legal there. We should, you know, that would be a good place to start for the first
meeting.
You had
some other names as well that.
That I knew. I know Stacy Hanley. She's been pretty active in things. Peter Gendron had a start.
The only thing is her application didn't really say anything about what she'd offer here.
Yeah,
that was my hesitation there.
Peter Gendron's one of those, and I can go, you know, I can advocate either way on this one, but I don't know that you're going to, he's certainly got knowledge of the industry, and you almost mm-hmm. just let it see how it plays out and that he can kind of represent. I think Don Fashing from a law enforcement standpoint, I mean, we're looking at enacting regulations and enforceability is a big consideration. So I think we've got a good start on people who we can kind of move forward in this. So are we going to spend some time? I apologize that I've just
I would switch out Amber for Valerie if you wanted to, and I'd be good with that. I mean, if you guys were good with a lot on my list, the one that Amber I was not certain on, I mean, that could switch out for Valerie if you thought she'd be a good fit.
Valerie's at one of the top at my list and to be included, so maybe if you wouldn't mind, there's a lot of names, and I didn't number them.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So when this started out last year, it was to look at marketing and perception and neighborhood relations and things of that. It sounds like what you're discussing today is this is purely regulatory? Okay, because I think, there's a lot that comes into play here. For example, real estate. Do we have a realtor? I mean, that's huge with what we're doing right now.
I have two on here that are related to that. I mean, one that's a realtor and one that's not a realtor, but referred by a realtor. And so it's like, why is that realtor making that reference? It's kind of...
It's a good connection.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to... If it were me, I'd look for somebody that knows marketing, is skilled in marketing. I mean, if we're trying to improve perception or brand a product or bring the industry to a very reputable point.
Have you gone through this list?
Haven't seen any of it.
Do you want to?
There's two people that's listed as economic development as far as...
a consideration.
Renee was one that the nursery owner that had put that, you know, as far as increasing the economy. The other one was Carrie Lee Culp. He was a general manager of a farm, and economic development was kind of their focus. I also think that this is a committee that will evolve over time. We were very specific to put 2-year rotation on this. So I think the biggest thing we're hearing right now is the regulatory focus. And as we get those
that's the hot
figured
topic,
out,
but it's not
then we can
drives.
Say, now how do we grow out of this kind of thing? How do we make peace? How do we move forward? And a two-pronged process that if, and it may be that membership changed or we recruit for specific things at one point. I don't think with the Economic Development Committee that's going right now, that is one of the topics that we'll be going through there as far as what are the conversations they're having. And with you being on both, I don't necessarily think I need a marketing person yet when I have people threatening neighbors and people fighting back, threatening livelihood. Don't mess with it, you know. So,
well, some other things I think you should, I mean, some of these obviously that you've said are key people. I would just caution you to perhaps look at, are they on a violation list? To see if they're bringing baggage to the thing. What zoning district are they in? So instead of just looking geographically, are we getting somebody from the resource zones? Are we getting somebody from the rural residential zones? Then I would caution you that we are told that the marijuana growers are in the process of forming their lawsuit against the county. So I would just caution if that's true that we're not...
abandon the plane.
Thank you.
Also, like for instance, Charlene Witcher. She, you know, has got a story to tell about being surrounded by cannabis growers. I don't see anybody out here with that.
Five people applied from North Valley, Colonial Valley, and that was my recommendation for Jeff Thomas. Of why he can represent that group and it not have to be one. It kind of encompassed the whole thing.
Okay.
He's got... How many clients that are probably in that situation?
Yeah. So I thought.
Did you ever see the movie Hallelujah Trail? When they it was all about prohibition and whiskey to this valley.
Was it in color?
Western, yeah, it was. Talkie, they had little stick horses. No, but they all ended up meeting, converging on one valley.
Yeah,
and that's what we have here. You know, we had the prohibition ladies marching in from this side. The Indians marching in from this side, the guy that owned all the whiskey coming in with his barrels of whiskey, and the town people. And they all met in this valley. And that's exactly what we've got here.
Perfect storm.
Watch the movie. You'll get a kick out of the end of it. But that's exactly what we've got here. We've got concerned citizens, you know, prohibition that say, we don't want any of it. And then we've got people that I don't want it next to my house on residential. Then we've got people that say, I should be able to grow on residential, but I don't want it on commercial. Then you got some folks that say, don't do it on EFU and AgLand. So there's a faction everywhere that says don't do it, but yet there's a huge industry out there that's perfectly legal.
I think that's why, for me, the recommendation of Jeff Thomas and Gerard Fitzgerald is because they're both aware of the situation, but they're not against anybody, but they're mindful of and acknowledging.
But they know. They have firsthand knowledge.
They're aware of the impacts and all that, but they're not against anything. So it's
well, even if they are. That's, you know, you got people who are absolute proponents. You've got to have balance. Peter Gendron would like to see, you know,
all
whatever, right? So
yeah.
having somebody on the other side who would like just as soon not see it in Josephine County at all isn't so bad. I mean, from a balanced perspective.
We've also talked about producers, but do we have anybody on there who represents the processing side or the retailing side or the secondary supplier, such as the fence guy?
Oh. We have to go with who applied. And
I think we're blessed to have a pretty good list. I was going to say that. At least we have people to choose from.
Yeah, I have to say that, you know, when we first started down this path, I spent a lot of time of trying to go down to who do we need represented. Oh, we need one of these, we need one of these, we need one of these kind of thing. And when we brought it to the board, their outcome was, you know what, let's leave them all open. You know, they're all going to be at large positions so that we can actually fill as we need and not, you know, but at the same time.
But you're still trying. I mean,
I'm still trying to be mindful that we have a well-represented full thing of the cannabis industry. And I, one of them was a business person. I think Cedar Gray kind of, he will represent that side of the retail and some other stuff like that. But
Renee, I don't think actually grows. He's consulting on everything from how to grow irrigation systems and that sort of deal. He's not necessarily a supplier anymore because he doesn't, I don't think he is.
But as far as looking at people who were the applicants, nobody stood out as being, one that stood out to me that I actually just really thought was kind of cool. There was a John Fuller and he grows four plants for his family. And I'm like, what a different perspective. A guy who just simply is taking care of his family and going from there, and it just would represent something different. But what I found as I was trying to get this list together for you guys is nine positions go quickly.
Yeah, they do.
And that's really where I came down to is my list is very heavy cannabis side. I don't necessarily, to me, if they're in violation, it's not necessarily something that would keep them off the list to me, because that means that they face something in the system that maybe is the system working for them and we need to find a way to make the system work better. If they're willing to be a part of it, at least they're going to be a part of the discussion. I think the biggest concern I had is just the one person that is such a strong personality. Will they be advisory to us or will they try to control the outcome of the commission? I mean, the advisory board, I don't know that.
Renee Pear has the most strong personality, and so does Peter Gendron, and
they're
so does Don Fashing, and so does Gerard Fitzgerald, and Valerie.
And
these
I was,
people are, they're it when they walk in a room.
So when I came down to it, I left Peter on the list because the knowledge that he has, I think, would be valuable, even if I was concerned about.
He has a tendency to be very animated in his expressing his opinion, so that can be a little challenging. But I think in a well-regulated, organized, pure, you know, refining position, he could be managed.
Striped shirt, whistle, and a hat. He's a referee. Get all your signals down, clipping, offside, get it all.
How I'm thinking a cattle prod and a hot
I
shot.
Actually was a paid umpire, but
then
it was...
You're in.
So can I fix a square and see if we're in or out?
We won't host this meeting in the courthouse just so she can wear her gun. I'm just kidding.
Well, the good news is that I have the ability to use my mouth, not
I think we're really close to this. So
where do we go from? What do we?
We need to revisit this at the earliest possible opportunity. I don't know that a lot of these names are qualifying or needing to get interviewed. We may have a couple.
I have some that I'm okay with just as they are.
So I have a question. So you were thinking Sean Martinez would Martinez would represent prevention as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
I did not apply for that committee.
She's not on the committee.
Oh.
She didn't apply.
She's
a staff person that we said you're going to be there just the same as you.
We're not appointing. We're not appointing staff or Watermaster style people to this.
Measure 91 and our local sales tax both had components of prevention.
No, I understand that. I thought you were going down the list of people that applied that you were talking about.
No, I've all in told Sean, kind of like you.
And my role is to just sit there and answer questions that people ask.
Yeah,
just
you'll
to
be
clear on that.
So, and that's with Sean as well, is to,
don't want to be doing any minutes or organizing any agendas.
We'll have a recorder for minutes. We'll figure that out. But it's one of those things that both of you as staff come from different perspectives in dealing with the industry that I think would be beneficial. And so normally I don't know that I'd have two staff people a part of things, but I think both are...
Well, there could be others, actually. I mean, it just depends on the subject.
The values, part of the value in our summits that we had right off the bat was the fact that there were staff members in the room to be able to field questions and go, whoa, don't go down that path. You know, because that's awkward. I think there was some real value in that, in having people available during the meetings to just, you know, where Commissioner Morgan can call on you and say, do you have something to say on that? And you go, yes. And clarification more than anything else.
Okay.
I think that'd be very valuable.
Yeah, I'm just looking at not putting too much workload on. I'm overloaded training.
A little workload.
So do you want
I've
the list of the
highlighted.
Ones that... what were the highlighted for you?
Yours, Stephen Becker.
Okay.
And then Don Fashing, Gerard Fitzgerald, Peter Gendron, Valerie, I don't know how you pronounce it, Montague?
Montague, yeah.
Jared William Parks.
Panks.
I see Parks. Renee Pear and Jeffrey Thomas.
So Cassie Cooper off?
No, I just didn't have it, like, got to be there. Cassie Cooper could totally be that ninth person for me. I don't really have...
What did you say Valerie was? Because for me, Cassie was a manager of a large grow, and she had a smaller grow herself, so I didn't know if that was representative.
She's in partnership with probably the largest grow in Josephine County.
Who is?
Valerie is.
Okay. So I just want to make sure we had a large grow represented.
Yep.
So I'm okay
she
with...
She also is a former planning staffer. That kind of understands, she could articulate specifically if there are those challenges at our planning office, just dealing with a whole new program, she could probably articulate those pretty clearly and actually make recommendations that would be more relevant than a lot of people from the other side of the counter. I'm not speaking for a defensive element of why planning has to do stuff the way they do, but she knows why planning has to do stuff the way they do, and might be that balance.
I would be okay with that list.
Few people have that perspective of the other side of the counter, Ms. Smelter's side of the counter.
So let me run over that list again, just to make sure we're on Cedar Gray, Stephen Becker, Jared Panks, Jeff Thomas, Valerie Montague, Gerard Fitzgerald, Don Fashing, Renee Pear, and Peter Gendron. I would say if you want to take the time to look at those.
And narrow it down.
Well, no, that's nine spots.
Yeah,
so if you'd like somebody else
right.
versus one of the others to weigh back in, and we can revisit it as far as where we're at. It wasn't as painful as I thought it was going to be.
Really? This has been kind of... I'm just kidding. Not really. It's tough because, you know, you've got people that you know on here that are just like, they're not going to make it. There's too... really good competition for wanting to be on this. So,
yeah,
that's what's
I was surprised at the amount of takers you have.
Yeah,
that's encouraging. That is really
encouraging. It's a hot topic, that is for sure.
People are still calling to see if they can apply.
Yeah,
we still are getting applications. I got one Monday.
We need to make sure that our intent of what we're supposed to get out of this thing is very clear going in, so they don't, because this looks like a group that could get really, really, really off base.
So, one thing we haven't done
is
bylaws.
Yeah, I would. Put
is it something that we were picking our bylaws, or is?
Yeah, I think we can do that. Bylaws are not as challenging because we just pick either advisory groups' bylaws and kind of substitute names and durations of terms and stuff like that. For me, what's more important is probably refining scope,
a specific scope
and having that delineated in a paragraph about. And I'm not so sure that the scope of saying what we'd like you to do is as important as saying what we don't want you to do.
Yeah.
That could be just as beneficial to say, nope, it says specifically in the charter from the board, we're not supposed to talk about X, Y, or Z.
I would like to see at some point in time that you know, and I've said it on more than one occasion, to the cannabis industry, I said, you have got to take ownership of these complaints and quit saying that it doesn't smell, and that there isn't any noise, and the dogs don't bark.
No, we don't make dust going down the driveway with our water trucks five times a day.
Exactly, and that's the thing, that, you know. So I think there's a two-sided part of this. There's going to be a lot of obligation by the growers when we get done horsing around here.
So maybe the first meeting, I think that's probably where we should be looking towards after we create it, because I think we're really close. You know, plugging in one or two names on this and creates the committee, and they can meet before the end of August. My thought was is that we have a structure to the first one. They'll need to elect a chair and a vice chair. They'll need to, you know, understand that they're inheriting bylaws. The scope of the board. It's a public meeting whenever these things are formed, so we should all plan on trying to attend that first one, that we would kind of go around and talk about our perspectives and what we look to this committee to help work for us and advise us on things, and then maybe bringing in a third-party person like a Rob Bovet to say, can you provide a good half an hour, 45 minutes of what's the baseline? Where are we at? What is it that we can do here as a committee? What are other things going on around the state? And so we have a foundation.
What do you think of that, Commissioner?
Mm-hmm. We also need open meetings law education.
Yes. We'll probably, I think we have a packet for advisory boards, and we'll send them home with that. Julie's done a great job of the economic development one. People exchanging emails and talking about stuff, and it's not, and they haven't really violated it quite yet, but they're kind of close. And it's an occupational hazard of people who want to lean into an issue and get something done and accomplished, but be that as it may. If that one's good, we'll hear from both of us next week. Thank you, Commissioner Morgan, for spearheading that effort. That's really fantastic. Monday's meeting was extremely fruitful, more so than the meeting, I think, in Portland.
Thank you.
I have notes. But here is the comprehensive AOC evaluation of what took place. Here is the cheat sheet on the transportation package
that
I think is going to be really positive to kind of reference in our minds about how that's going over time. We're going to be meeting on the transportation presentation. Is it the 18th or something? Arthur's going to be bringing in that consultant that we hired. Mr. Toller to present on.
He was here yesterday.
He was here yesterday.
Missed it.
Done.
Good.
So where we left that was that Rob was going to be bringing forward to us action steps to as a response.
Great.
Yeah.
And that was going to be the next thing that we asked him to do sooner than later on bringing that forward. You should also be aware that the outcome of the road standards, we did. Staff said they had some edits they wanted to make to it. We asked them to step back on their surveyor requirements and get to something that our surveyor was happy with and bring that forth, but to not be so rushed to bring us something as much as bring us something that's quality. And so they're going to wait.
And has gone through a process of having our elected surveyor weigh in on it before it gets here, just like legal did.
So they got the feedback from us on it. They're going to come to you and get feedback from you.
Okay.
And then after they feel satisfied that they've met your requests, they're going to bring it to an end.
Okay. Sounds real good. Well, again, I apologize for being out yesterday. It's really kind of the first day I've taken since it happened. But, yeah, we'll be working through it. I will be in the office tomorrow. I have too much I need to catch up on, but then Friday I'll be out.
We won't.
I know.
I'll be at the fair all day.
Yeah. Okay.
So one thing, I should give you guys a heads up of kind of a change of direction with public health. I'm convening a meeting the first week of September. I'm going to be bringing all care, primary health, probably a couple providers, some county staff together and say, what does public health in Josephine County need to provide? And moving forward, what does that look like? Where... financing, what services, and so we have private sector, public sector there as far as trying to meet that need. So the concern is that we go forward and there's going to be unintended consequences of did we remember this, did we think of this, did we lose this, did we, and with the goal being that the service to the public is not reduced mm-hmm. or harmed. And so being intentional to bring the key players to the table and having a kind of a candid workshop conversation of what does this need to do, and with having the players together, then kind of looking at a team approach of where do we go forward. And I think it's important to have that conversation with the players in the room instead of reactionary where everyone's there. It's just, look, this isn't something we have to hide. Let's actually bring us all together and be a part of an intentional plan of what does public health for Josephine County look like. And a different model, a hybrid of...
Did you say all care was going to be in the room?
All care and primary health, both CCOs.
I think that's a great idea. It's a good strategy, but it's really important for us to refine exactly what the board is looking to try to achieve in this reorganization, or leaving it up to the idea that we don't really have specific goals other than the fact that we don't want service to our clients to be negatively impacted, or if it is, it's delineated in this fashion. We know that there is alternatives. It may not be the most convenient place, but it works for our bottom line. I think we've been working, previous boards have been seriously working at reducing the draw on the general fund, making funding more not static but secure, because as public safety is needing more general funds, then we have to look at clerk's office, surveyors, public health, community corrections, community development. They shouldn't be through those crosshairs if we're having to pick immunizations versus patrol officers or something like that. So that's my objective. It's pretty fundamental. It's just financial that we try to reduce, provide better resources to those programs. So that's mine.
Well, and where I, from the perspective I'm coming from is that financial element. Okay. The other piece is geography. We know we need to move the location where we're at. And so finding a place that is not, that we actually can afford to do that, that provides a service. But something that was beneficial that came out of the meeting I had with staff and Dr. Candelaria last week or the week before was that we have people that for whatever reason are not utilizing the services in the community right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they come to public health for this thing, and once they walk in the door, they get them connected to these other services they're missing out on. And this model of, since we got you for this one, let's make sure we get this other component offered, and just the need of keeping those services together no matter where they may be housed in the future.
Right.
And so that's part of that discussion of, there's been some other discussions as well as immunizations. For instance, the cost for the equipment to meet the federal standards for housing immunizations, and not every little medical shop can do that. So how do we just make sure that we're planning ahead, that the services are provided, that our rural areas are looked at? And so instead of it saying, well, what's going on, saying, you know what, we need to bring the key players. One of the biggest functions they do at public health is women's health needs, because they come in for women, infant, children, program, WIC, they do this other stuff. So essentially having someone from the women's clinic, having somebody from SISCU Community Health, having all care key players there, primary health key players there, and obviously our health department, Dr. Candelaria, Cheryl, maybe someone from finance, and say, okay, where are we at? Let's make a plan, and then come back, because I know our goal is not that something fall through the cracks, and so I just want to make sure that we have a thorough evaluation of it, so as we're moving forward. So I just wanted to let you know that moving towards having that meeting the first week of September after Labor Day.
Great. Anything else?
That's the biggest one I can hear. Remember, so.
I think that's it. I'm going to check my. Sorry, I did have something I wrote down, but I'm sure it's probably not. Nope, that's it. I'll keep you updated on the AOC reorganization stuff. They are hiring a chief operations officer within their organization. And I think we need to send a letter to Laura, who got in a car accident. You probably know about that. I don't know why we didn't. I wasn't aware of it until I went to this meeting. But
it's had a bigger impact than I think initially was believed it would have.
Yeah. So we'll get a letter, a note together, and send that off to her. So nothing further. The board's adjourned at 11:45.